want a podcast? I got a Smodcast. You want a podcast? I got a Smodcast. You want a podcast? I got a Smodcast. You wanna. Do you want a podcast? Do you want a show? Do you get your laughs from computer radio with this bro, Scotty Mo? It's about time to lose your shit. Everybody spark a spliff for that legend, Kevin Smith.
Welcome to Smodcast. I'm Kevin Smith.
I'm Scott Booner.
Oh, listen to that. For a second, the audience could be forgiven for thinking that that was, you know, like fucking
a strange Muppet
or Dave Coulier performing Scott Mosier. And they're like, what a bold entry to Smodcast Dave Coulier made, where he claimed to be Scott Mosier, fellow Canadian Scott Mosier. But instead, what you are hearing, kids, allegedly, is the actual voice of Scott Mosier himself. Now, I'm looking at a picture of him on Zoom, so it's back. Proof. Yeah, well, this is a digital age, Scott. I've seen a brilliant, like, you know, what do they call it? Deep fake of Tom Cruise, like, sucking a dick or so. I forget what he was doing, but it was incredible where I was like, that's Tom Cruise for sure. So we need to test Scott to make sure that he's 100% authentic Scott, because we haven't fucking seen him. I haven't seen him in a long time, and nobody's heard from him in a while. This could be a fucking Dateline episode where it's like,
my wife has heard from
him. Well, if she is indeed your wife, we have to do a lot of checking. This could be like Dateline's, like, he was looking forward to talking to his podcasting pal, but he got catfished for $20 million by a Dave Coulier sound alike. So we got to make sure this ain't that, man. I don't want to wind up on a reality program, Scott.
I will say more fucked up than video cloning or picture cloning is audio cloning.
Is that possible?
Oh yeah. I've heard some stuff.
People put shit together of you where you're like,
no, it's not of me, but I've heard examples where the technology is now like, I mean, they could do it with us in a heartbeat.
Because we have a lot of
volumes sample.
Of fucking sample that they could pull from. Well, yeah, that's good for when we become like fucking AI. When we download our consciousness finally into the great fucking central computer and shit, we'll be able to sound like us too.
When the technology gets there,
yeah,
we could like take our text conversations and then basically just translate, like if we were just texting each other.
Yes.
And we're like, oh, that was funny. You could just put it into the system and then it would generate us saying it.
So we could write a podcast?
Yeah.
You know, that's a very popular thing now. Usually they do it with like mysteries and shit. Like, this motherfucker died. Yeah,
now there's like fictional.
Nobody knows.
Motherfucker died.
Yeah,
what a podcast.
We got to get to the bottom of it. And 10 episodes later, we're like, yeah, he died. No mystery. That's what we did wrong. Podcast pioneers, me and Scott Mosier, we never once thought, hey, let's write it down before we do it. Like, we were running from a world of scripted entertainment. That's why podcasting was so free and fun, because it's like, no need no fucking script, man. Condom off, baby. This conversation off the cuff, man.
So sexy.
But now people are making billions of dollars writing podcasts, Scott. Fuck.
It's true.
It was right there. Like, it was hanging.
There was one that was like, and they're getting option then to be made into movies and animated series and all the rest of it.
I saw one fucking, this ain't even a podcast, but like some fucking TikTok of, I mean, I don't know how this could be true, but some fucking teenager like accidentally moved into like a retirement community. And I'm like, if that ain't a pitch, I don't know what is. I'll watch that sitcom. Like, who's the star? Who's the old man? Is it Dick Van Dyke? I'm in. Fucking sooner or later. Yeah, we have said enough where they could make us say anything.
Take at the end of this podcast, they could take our voice samples, and that would be enough to produce new us saying different things. And then what they can do is they can actually have another actor perform it.
welcome to Flights of Fancy with Scott Mosier. And then what could happen is someone could bring in, I don't know, a cat or a small antelope. And perhaps
and make it sound like us. Is this not proof that I'm back?
Rambling paranoia with Scott Mosier. And then what could happen is
it's not paranoia. I've heard it.
What do you mean you've heard it? Like they've done it?
Like, yeah.
They've done it to me, right? They're doing it now, Kev. That's why I'm wearing this tinfoil. I'm like, oh, shit. It has been a while since we talked to Scott. Let's take a pulse.
Yeah, no, it's not paranoia because that would mean that it's like something that doesn't exist. Mm.
It's true.
No, it exists. It's like, you know, the computer can basically build it. And then what they can do is take the performance of somebody else and then basically take that, the tonations and the like ups and downs and stuff, and right. then take your voice and put it and then sort of translate it into your voice. So it's like if you wanted to get a specific performance of a line, you could have another person do it, and then the cloning. It's all pretty crazy.
They could like literally just ask me. Like instead of like we went through fucking like 18 layers of subterfuge and burned through 4,000 servers to get this dude to say shit sounding like you. I'm like, just you could pay me $400 and I'll say whatever you want, because in the age of audio fucking duplicity, I could just deny it later on and be like, I didn't say that. You know how many things I said on Smodcast? They probably pasted it together from Smodcast. Scott told me about some shit. Real first world shit that's happening right now in the present.
They did it on the Super Bowl. There was I think it was Yogi Berra.
Because he's dead.
Because he's dead.
So they could be like,
that's the there's definitely, they're using the technology in that way for people who aren't willing to do it.
I never met a baseball I didn't like. There he is, kids. Yogi Berra. Technology. Alive again. Sounding the way he did as he rounded the bases back in the day. What a touchdown for baseball. Touchdown. Is that what it's called?
It's a deep fake.
That's how they catch it.
It was Kevin Smith. I knew it.
God damn it. We should have got somebody who actually knows the sport. To prove you're not a deep fake, Scott, we'll hit you with fucking questions. Okay. Number one.
Oh, wow. This is about memory.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, so you've exposed yourself as a clone. These will be easy. I'm pulling from shit that we've talked about on the show off the top of my head. All right, like here.
Oh boy.
If you are Scott Mosier, where is your Africa or Australia looking birthmark located?
It's on my ween.
I see a clone wouldn't necessarily know that. He wouldn't have it necessarily on his ween. He might shift around.
You're trying to check out of some like new website. Yeah, like, this, are you a robot?
Are you a robot, Scott?
It's my dick.
So yeah, I was like, you recognize this? You're like, first off, how'd you get that picture? Second off, it's my dick. Click all the squares. Click all the squares that don't have dick in them. All right, number two. What, all right, this is word association. No computer could do this, Scott. This is fucking, here you go. Not yet. Don't fucking scare everybody. here we go. When I say moody, what do you say?
Port.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, see, no computer. Computer's still stuck on like, emotions are beyond me. Fuck, they're gonna expose me as fake Scott. Quick, give me an answer. That's him on like fucking dialed into the web and shit. But you clearly knew the answer. All right, so for the third one.
I feel pretty confident that there's a computer out there from like a decade ago that could have like looked at all of my residences online and have pulled that off, so.
True. All right. Fair enough.
Not to discredit.
I know. It's like you're fighting your own fucking case here. I keep trying to prove you're human. And you're like, well, I could be Westworld. I could be like that fucker in Westworld. All right. The third one, Scott, is all right. This will be a reality check because we haven't spoken to you in quite some time. So who fucking knows where you stand on the spectrum right now? Ready for this one?
Mm-hmm.
What happened on January 6th? 2021.
January 6, 2021. Was it a SMOD anniversary?
No.
January 6, 2021.
Yeah, recent history, very recent.
I don't know what happened.
There was an incident at the Capitol.
Oh. I was literally like,
everybody's leaning forward, listening, going like, Scott, not, no.
I'll tell you my thoughts. Like, I don't think you've ever brought up a current event on the show all the years. And so I was like, there was no part of me that was like searching through like something like current event or anything. I didn't think.
To be fair, this current event is 5 months old, but still, I follow the rationale.
No.
What happened on January 6, 2021, Scott?
Oh, there was a group of people stormed the Capitol. That happened.
And were those people right or wrong, Scott? I guess that's what we're driving at.
I'm going to come down the side of they should not have done that.
All right. It's Scott, everybody. It's Scott. Now we've asked those three questions. Now we know he's a real fucking boy.
Although I'm sure if you look through some of those photos, there's someone who looks a lot like me.
No shit, man. Moj, for those who can't see, and since it's a podcast, it's fucking everybody, is rocking the "Oh Lord, I Was Born a Rambling Beard." Yeah. Just fucking
gray.
Or like, does somebody
grayer than yours?
Yeah. Oh my God, you are full gray. I have. If you look on the side, you'll see the whites trying to gentrify this shit, but I fight them off every damn day. I come in and trim them with a scissor, but you're just like, you've given up. You're like, take the neighborhood.
I mean, I got like some blonde. I mean, mine's that mixture of like blonde and gray, but it's definitely
you got that fucking Robert
my
Redford
hair, though. I don't really have it in my hair yet.
Me neither, but I also don't have a lot of hair. So here it is.
Gotcha.
Beard, white beard aside, kids, Scott looks like Kurt Russell in Guardians of the Galaxy 2 or the Santa Claus Netflix pictures he's been doing, but not paunchy. But he's thin. And I don't know if you've seen those movies, but he's pretty fucking thin. They present a new Santa.
I haven't seen the Christmas movie yet.
He did one on Netflix with Goldie Hawn and shit.
Yeah, I think there's two. Isn't there a sequel?
They got a thing going on. They're like, fucking, maybe you don't know, but we're huge on Netflix. But Scott's got that fucking Kurt Russell, you know, third stage of life beard going on. What is that all about? Just Lays, or just it's cold where you are and your face is chilly?
I don't know. I mean, I've had a beard probably for
ever.
Half the time that we've known each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've had a beard. I think at this point, I mean, I guess I didn't really have a beard that much when I was growing up as a boy.
My God, that would have been so metal. Beard boy.
Come out of my mom like this.
Yeah, just like, master, just got my name, Gonzalo, you scream, master. Like, why is he, well, he comes out with a beard and he's metal?
Those words.
Why are these two things associated? Is there anybody in Metallica with a beard? Why am I associating a beard with?
The lead singer had
facial hair going on, right?
Some facial hair going on, but
while he was chopping his breakfast on him.
Beard. Yeah. I had this beard is pretty close to a little bit shorter or more sort of polished than the beard I had in Clerks.
Willem's beard?
Yeah.
It's true. That's true. Now I'm looking at it.
Baseball cap? This is not a new look. This is like, this is my OG shit.
Oh my God. That's true. You are rocking it old school. I had no idea. Yeah. But again, could have been part of the whole Dateline. You know, catfished by my podcasting pal, you know, whatever it is, but we'll come up with the title later. But it could have just been part of the thing, like that you look, especially that you're like, oh, I chose a look from like circa in like 1993. So he'll feel real comfortable with this and shit. He won't look any deeper than this. So he won't be like, why does my friend not age? Why is he doing
it? You would have been more surprised.
If you came at me bald faced, I'd be like, fucking robot. robot. Close the laptop. Robot, where's your dick? And you're like, what? What do these things have to do with each other?
Show me your dick.
I say booty. What do you say? I don't know. Attitudinal. No. What? No. What were you gonna say? What would I have been more surprised?
Oh, I was just wondering, like, would you be more surprised if I was
wrapped in an American flag and you were like, yeah, listen, man, fucking this fucking motherfucking election has been motherfucking stolen.
Hiding in this toilet.
I'm like, man, gotta check in with Scott more often. Where are you for those who are like, where is Scott in the world? Last time we checked in, I can't remember if you'd made the journey to where you are now. You were someplace else, and now you're someplace.
I'm now closer to back to L.A., close on the coast.
You were in Oakland.
I was in Oakland. I was in the Bay Area for a while, and then, as you know,
you got chased out for being soft. They're like, you fucking soft, fucking pussy beard boy born with a fucking beard. You think that's metal? Oakland's metal.
Robot.
Everywhere he went, beard boy was called a robot.
Yeah, now I live down close to L.A. along the coast, kind of near, you know.
What do you call it? Cliffs? The cliffs of L.A.?
No, near L.A., close to L.A.
Oh, I said go with the cliffs of L.A. That sounds badass.
I live on the cliffs of L.A.
People are like, what's that? You know, like,
it's I wrote thing. A song.
It's like, the cliffs of L.A., will you meet me there, kissing under the apple tree? Cliffs of LA is like, that sounds like a, like Dumbo. Remember, like, Dumbo didn't exist, and then one day in New York they're like, oh, I live in Dumbo, and you're like, what's that? And they're like, oh, it's okay. I thought you were talking about the elephant Dumbo,
the elephant that can fly.
Could be that too, but I'm referring to instant neighborhoods and shit. So if you start referring to the cliffs of LA,
I guess that'd be like,
I wonder how long it would take for it to catch on before a real estate agent was like, oh, well, you'd be buying in the Cliffs of LA's area code.
You know, and then, you know, you call it
what?
Cola.
Cliffs of LA. Oh, my God, he's right. I had to do it out loud, but fucking, that's right. Yeah, like, oh, my God, he's like, we're in the Cola zip code. Yeah, I'm in the Cola zip code. They're like, ooh, Cliffs of LA. Very nice.
You moved to Cola. Oh, that's so amazing.
Cliffs of LA. I mean, that's what people outside of Cola call it, but in Cola we call it. Cola.
Cola. Not to be confused with E. Cola.
Yeah, we don't call it that at all. But yeah, we call it the un-cola sometimes, because sometimes outsiders, it's like when people from outside of Can come in and call it Con. So the locals, you know, got to go a different way. As a cola local, sometimes it's cool to call it the un-cola. We call it ourselves. We call that amongst ourselves. How many people are in the zip code? What, Cola? One right now.
One and a half.
Yeah, we're working on a build that. Why? You want to buy in? Cola real estate's going through the roof.
I don't even know where it would be. I don't know if there are there's cliffs in Malibu.
You could fool somebody outside of fucking LA and be like, oh my God, the cliffs of LA. You could sell some motherfuckers real estate in the cliffs of, you know, people are buying, real estate's going crazy, Scott. I don't know if you know this or not.
Yeah, I do know that.
So people are buying houses sight unseen. We could literally get a grift scam going. I mean, now that we're talking about it out loud, probably not that successful, but we'll get somebody where we sell them a home in the Cola area code, Cliffs of LA.
Just take out a big ad in like Berkshire Properties and whatever. You're an asshole if you don't live in Cola.
take pictures of like both your house and my house, so it looks like one giant house with like two different styles going on. We're like, holy shit, this Cola's got it going on, man. For those of us out here not lucky enough to live in Cola, Scott, where are you and how is it in the cliffs of LA?
It's wonderful. I live near the beach. That was my wife, Alex, and I, that was our thing. She actually grew up in this area. And so we moved around here. And
she's one of them Cola kids that you hear
about.
She's
a Cola. She's an original Cola. Oh, Cola.
Classic Cola, as they call it.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. And then, you know, now we have, we got a new dog and we run it along the beach every day.
What's the new dog's name? Really? You go running on the beach like Rocky at the end of Rocky, at Rocky 3?
Yeah.
Do you race the 100%? Dog?
I do.
Dog wins.
He's still a puppy. He's still like eight. He's just 8 months.
His name's Storm. Competition. You're like, but I'm going to learn him. He's going to learn what it means to compete. Fight. Yeah, fucking compete. Run.
Chase that chicken. Catch that chicken.
Run like you're being shot at. What? Shooting at the sand right by the dog. Run, you son of a bitch. People like Cola was a really nice neighborhood until fucking that guy.
He got a puppy.
Yeah, that guy went nuts. That ain't Cola cool, Scott. What? Nothing. What is
Cola? That's not Cola.
What is the dog's name?
Norman.
Holy fuck! What's that all about? Family relative? Just he looks like a Norman.
No, Alec. One of our dogs previously, I had named prior to us getting it. Like I'd sort of. Had picked the name Buddy before we got Buddy. And then we had...
She was like, never again, you fucking cocksucker. That'll never happen again in our relationship. That haunts me to this day.
When we started looking for a new dog, she said she had thrown out the name Norman. So he was Norman before he showed up.
What kind of dog is he?
We actually got one of those, DNA tests because he was a mutt. Like he was a rescue.
So you're like, what's in you? What's going on?
Yeah. What are you? Are you a robot?
Lift your tail.
Yeah, show me your dick.
Do you think my dick is under my tail? Do you know anything about dogs?
So he looked kind of like they were advertising him as kind of like Australian Shepherd. And so we got the DNA test and he's 35% Great Pyrenees, which is a large dog, a European cattle dog. And then he's 28% German Shepherd. And then he's like, and then there's that weird thing where it's like, he's 11% Chihuahua and like, 12% Shih Tzu, and then there's a 20% thing called like super mutt, which is like, you know, really small percentiles of mixture. There's like Boston Terrier and
what I'm hearing Gita in this story is that is somewhere along the
fucked
way,
a little dog.
Yeah, fucking some little dog, some Chihuahua fucked above his station in life. He fucked up. I see it that way. I see it as the Chihuahua fucked the bigger dog, but I guess it's possible it could have went the other way.
It's like rolling your back, motherfucker.
Yeah, like I'm gonna ride you, just like in the movies on Cinemax. Like what?
I see that shit.
Yeah, I watch it over the master's arm. I learn things. Watch this. I'm gonna bounce on that shit.
Yeah, he's gonna be like 65 pounds or something like that. He's growing. He's a grown boy.
What part of him's got the Chihuahua of 65 pounds?
I don't know.
He's like, got Chihuahua dick. 65 pound pure Pyrenees. Yes. Fucking 10% Chihuahua dick. 1 ounce
Chihuahua dick. 1 ounce.
You try throwing that around. No wonder I needed adoption. Did he come to you as a puppy?
Yeah, we got him. He was like
fresh out the litter, breaking mother's hearts and shit.
No, he was like 4 months old.
They're like, you could either have him at 4 months or you can really psychologically damage the whole brood, including the mother, by taking the puppy at 1 week. And you're like,
damage, you say. No, they found the rescue, a woman who runs this rescue, they found him up at Bakersfield. Him and his
getting high in a hotel room. Yeah. Get out of here. No way, man. Fuck you. Fuck you, law dog. Come on in. We're having a party. And if you come in here, you better come armed with beer. We got to get this puppy into a good home.
Civilize this.
Somebody take this puppy down to the Cola area of the world.
Maybe. So they got, he was like 4 months, and it was at 4 months. You can't, or you're not supposed to until they get all, he didn't have all his shots. So until they have all their shots, you're not supposed to take the puppies out you know, kind of outside of your home area because there's like diseases that they get, they can get as puppies. I think it's called parvo and something else that basically, so we had to, like when we got him, they like handed him to us and like, you know, it was kind of like, don't let him touch the ground.
Yeah, like he's in quarantine. You're like, we all are.
Yeah, big fucking deal. Yeah, so we got him. Like, it was like 4 weeks where we had to keep him like in the house kind of and around. And then
like after that, I was like, you're on your own, little man.
Yeah, congratulations. You graduated from...
You're grown up now. Get out of here.
A knife and $100.
You took your shotgun out, shot at the ground near its feet, and watched him scamper off to a brighter future.
It's called motivation.
3 nights later, you got a phone call from the cops. He's back in that hotel room.
You just keep saying your name.
Send him in here. But tell him if he's coming, he better come armed to party. Oh, Norman.
What went wrong?
I wasn't prepared. I was arrogant to think I could be a parent to you.
In those 4 weeks, I thought I molded him into a man.
A human male. Yes, is that so crazy? Kids, don't take that story as any sort of sign that you should never adopt. Just because it happened to Scott and Norman and Alex doesn't mean it'll happen to your family.
It's cautionary.
Scott tells this story at bars around the world. Give me a shot and a beer. I'll give you a shot. Yeah. A shot at a good life. If you listen to my story, but buy me a drink and listen to my story. I'll tell you my tale. It's modern day gambler and shit. Scott out there undoing the good work of people who are like, adopt a pet. Scott's like, don't, not so fast.
Yeah. Unless you want your heart broken.
Yeah, buy pure.
Yeah. Go pure for sure.
What does that mean? Buy a pure. You know what it means. Buy a dog. It's pure. You know where it comes from. American dog. What? It sounds like a dog whistle. Well, it makes sense. We're talking about dogs.
Moving on.
Are we sure this is Scott? He passed that robot test. Fuck yeah.
Showed his dick.
He knew all the squares that didn't have dicks in them.
And traffic lights.
So beach life. Beach living is the life for me.
Yep.
Do you smell that ocean air? I grew up on the beach.
Kinda. Yeah, we smell the ocean air and you know, you get a lot of
horseshoe crabs.
You get a nice ocean breeze and yeah. It's nice and cool. And then you get like some days when I'm in my office now and like, you know, the fog will roll in off the ocean. You can see it just like creeping through, creeping by.
That's like Adrian Barbeau country right there, man. That's where fog happened and shit. You're in carpenter country. It ain't just cola. You're there and you fucking scrape off the fucking thing that says, welcome to cola country. And under it says carpenter. And you're like, fuck.
Well, underneath us is we live north of Carpinteria.
The fuck out of here. Bought a whole town. Just like fucking Halloween 3. Those fuckers that own the whole town. He was like, it's a joke on the children. Remember that? Fucking old man. He was like, my idea for Halloween is to kill a lot of children with masks.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen Halloween 3 in a long time. That's the one where it's like they have that weird commercial.
Yeah. Three more days till Halloween. Three more days till Halloween. Silver shamrock. And that counts down. Yeah. And finally, happy Halloween. Halloween. Now put on your mask and watch. Watch the magic pumpkin. Movie's fucking ahead of its time. And as much as they're using technology, they're talking about deep fakes. There was a fucking robot that he fucked, right? Who was like
a robot.
a robot.
I don't know. Is that what happened?
He fucked her. Robot? He fucked her in the robot, if I remember correctly. But it wasn't her. She was already dead and replaced by a synthetic robotic version of her. Because the guy who ran Silver Shamrock, the guy who's like, it was a joke on the children, that dude, Dan whatever the fuck, O'Harely or something, he was made like, you know, fucking robots and trinkets. All his staff were robots. They weren't even real people, synthetic people that he made. I'm telling you, this movie went so far off the fucking path of Halloween, what a Halloween is.
Yeah.
Like, which had been established, granted, with only two movies. And some would argue that only with one movie, like John Carpenter, you know, made Halloween, and then somebody else made Halloween too. And he gave it his blessing then and shit. But then years later was like, I didn't make a brother and sister. That wasn't part of Halloween. That happened in Halloween too. So maybe by the time they got to three, he's like, we're so far fucking off the reservation, I might as well make it about robots, guys fucking having robot sex and shit.
That wasn't Carpenter in three, was he?
I don't think he didn't direct it, but he might have had a, well, he definitely produced. I don't know if he had a story credit or something like that. But later on, he would do, I'm not going to say a similar story, but remember he did Prince of Darkness?
Yeah, yeah.
And the guy's like, I have a message for you, and you're not going to like that. And he starts falling apart and shit.
Is that the one with Alice Cooper?
Yeah, motherfucker. Alice Cooper is a homeless dude. I mean, I wasn't saying that's in the movie. I wasn't fucking making that declaration like, hey, you heard it here. Alice Cooper is a homeless dude. Yeah. People are like, wow, hot. What a hot take. Way to take on fucking Alice Cooper about 40 years after it would have mattered. Speaking of years, Scott.
Yes.
In the time since last we've spoken, you have aged. You've become a 50-year-old man, correct?
I have. I joined the 50 club. It's, I don't know if that exists.
But it is. The half century club.
Half century club. Yeah.
The 5-decade
March
club.
5th.
How did it feel? What did you do?
I had grander plans. We were going to go to Scotland and do something.
Holy shit. He's like, for my 50th birthday, Scott is going to fucking Scotland.
Yeah. Get his dick sucked. In a marsh. No.
Mr. Mosier, isn't it true wherever you are is technically Scotland? Yeah, Circus Magazine knows what's up. That's right, Circus Magazine. You can quote me on that. Well, we kind of built the quote. Whatever. All right, I'm getting on this plane and I'm going to Scotland. There he is, Scott Mosier, lead singer of the Bay City Rollers, boarding a plane for Scotland.
We were going to go. We had big plans because my 49th birthday was 3 days before
lockdown.
Lockdown and especially up in Oakland, it was like March 8th, they started locking down. So,
But I have a birthday. Get the fuck in your house.
No one cares.
Yeah. Get that fucking, pick up that little dog and get in your house. You're both quarantined.
Fuck. we were going to go to Scotland. Sort of bigger, grander plans, but that did not happen. So we just went to just north of here. There's a town. It's like a wine area north of Santa Barbara. And we just had a little dinner. That was it. We didn't do that much.
Did you have a little speech where you're like, at 50, these are the things I've learned? She's like, just pass the salt. Never mind. Like,
yeah, it's just me.
She's like, I know what you've learned.
I know it all. It's weird. I wouldn't say I don't think about it, but I wouldn't say it's not a milestone that you don't sort of consider. I guess I feel fortunate that I'm not sort of like, you know, bemoaning.
You're like, fuck it, 50.
Yeah. Like, I knock on wood, feel good. I'm grateful that I, you know, feel good. And
I'm not going to say, like the standard question is, do you feel 50? But like, do you feel 50?
I guess I don't feel 50 in the sense that I'm like, I also don't think that 50 has the same meaning like when we were kids. Like, I think, you know,
50 was like retirement, like, you know, fucking retirement.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, and like not that long ago, people lived to be like 65 and shit. So it's like turning 50 was like, all right, dude, you just fucking turned the corner. And now it's like, and now, you know, the chances that I'll live twice as long as I, as the age I am now is probably not totally likely, but it's still like there's a chance to be another 30 years.
Yeah. You definitely have more time than fucking most people. Like, when like they my dad's start just tracing 80. That shit.
My dad's almost 84. My mom's almost 80. So I figure I can.
So he was another one that fucking beat the curve and shit. It's not like he, you know, turned 65 and suddenly it was like, he's how old is he? 84?
He'll be 84 in October.
You can't get rid of fucking John Mosier, man. He's like, I was here when it started. I'll close the fucker down.
Yeah, I was here when the sun was born.
Seen
I made the moon of mud with my own two hands.
Laid the moon. The man who laid the moon. The 50... as Scott pointed out, used to actually, yes, be definitely some milestone of age, wisdom, maybe not erudition, but definitely miles.
Yes.
Granted, we did not have to work as hard as our parents, nor our grandparents and stuff. We worked in a soft industry. And that soft industry has enabled me to pretty much feel the same way I felt when I entered it. It's not a backbreaking industry. So you're not like, oh my God, it's not like being in the coal mines where you're like,
I'm not humping shit all day.
Oh no. And you're breathing that dust and shit. And you're like, my lungs speak to the fact I've been in the mines. You know, it's, I came into it at age 23 and have pretty much, and I, you know, maturity wise, I was only about 16 anyway. And I've been able to maintain that. So even though chronologically I age up and Scott ages up, we both work in a business where, like, I think of it like this. Most people, or at least, I mean, I can't even say most people. I don't know most people. I'll take my father. My father was a guy who had to, every day when he woke up was like, what do I have to do today? And every day when I wake up, I go, what do I want to do today? And that's like the big shift. And because of that, it's probably kept me from aging, you know, in at least in my head, because I still feel like I'm getting away with something. And as much as like, this ain't a real job, is it? So I would assume you have something of the same thing. And as much as you don't feel like you're like, oh man, fucking every one of them 50 years, you can fucking read it on my face.
No. I mean, I feel really, you know, it's a fortunate position to be in that you are able to say that, you know, you can kind of, you know, for the most part, sort of choose what you want to do for, you know, and sort of get, like you said, like you get up and don't say like, all right, what, you know, you don't get up with a script written of what you have to do every day for the rest, you know, for the rest of your life. You kind of are like, oh, I can kind of write my own for the most part.
Invent it over and over again.
Yeah. I do think the only thing for me, I guess the question would be for you too. It's like, I guess 50 only, it exists more in a way of like, because of being fortunate and being in that position, it's like, I guess there's a sense of being even more discerning with time.
Mm.
Like, I think there's only that where you go, well, I think almost, you know, what you say yes or no to, it can affect that decision-making process where it's like, because I don't think, you know, obviously I have, you know, I could keep working for a long time, but there is a period where you're like, you know, like when we started, it felt like we were, you know, there was no sense of like, well, you know, let's choose what we do over the next 10 years because those choices reflect. There is at least the shadow of that to me now, which is like, well, whatever those choices are, those are going to be some of the last movies you make or the last things that you get, you know, the that sort of came into my head more after it came up, which I was like, oh, like, you know, over the next decade, then I'm 60. And it doesn't mean that's when I'm going to retire either, but it does feel like, you know, and especially because I working in animation, sometimes it's like, you know, the Grinch was 4 years. So you end up going like,
it's a big chunk of life right there.
Yeah, that's a big chunk of time. So, you know, so I think that crosses my mind a little bit more now. Just I think 50 has that like, that it just, it just shifts the perspective a little bit where I go, oh, well, you know, is that what I really want to be doing right now? And, you know, how many things am I going to take on at once? And you know, so it's not like I don't feel old. I feel a little bit more like, you know, I can just once again be more discerning about exactly what I'm going to do or not do, you know, because of being 50. I think it just sort of reflects, I reflect on that more than I reflect on the idea of like, I'm old and it's over. I'm more like, oh, you know what? I've been doing this for a long time. I've been alive for a long time. Like I can sort of, well, it's funny. Like you say, you know, you still feel like, do you actually still feel like you've tricked somebody?
Yes. Every fucking day. Every day I wait for the other shoe to drop. Like Jordan described it. She's like, my God, you live in such fear. And I'm like, yeah, the fear that somebody's going to be like, him, like, he's not good at this. Get the money back. Get him out of, you know, like being discovered to be a fraud or not even discovered to be a fraud. Like, you know, as time has gone on, they're like, ew, you weren't worth it. We're taking it back or whatever the fuck. I don't know. I still feel like I'm getting away with something. This feels like a fucking, you know, like, shut up. Don't fucking tell anybody because then everyone's going to get away with it.
Like, what are you talking about? You have a podcast. Tell everybody everything.
It's true. I do. I feel like, I'm still no part of the job. And of course, the job has changed over fucking a number of ways over the many years. It began as like, oh, we're filmmakers. And now for me, it's like, oh, I make film. You know, but there's like yeah. all these other things and shit. So, you know, there's definitely a sense, particularly when it's like, what are we doing this month? Like NFTs? Oh my God. This sounds like, I feel like we're getting away with something. Like still, like, what are we doing? We're shooting a fucking like TV show. God damn it. Like we're getting away with something. But if somebody, like, all right, so I understand what you're saying in terms of like, hey man, I only got a certain amount of years, so I'm going to be choosy with what I do. So let's say somebody comes to you and says, look, I know you're fucking an animator and I know you want to direct and that's important and stuff, but I want you to put aside those goals because I want you to act for me. I want to hire you to be an on-camera actor. I grew up watching them fucking Viewscoop pictures and I always thought you were an underutilized, authentic talent. You come across as natural to me. And I know that time is valuable, particularly because I listen to the podcast and I understand what time means to you. So we're going to make you like a cash offer.
Okay.
To be in this project.
Okay.
$1 million.
Okay.
Would you, it's only going to take, you know, fuck, it's not even going to take a year. This is going to take like 3 months, maybe four because there's some special effects involved.
It's a movie,
but you're going to act in, and they're going to pay you $1 million. It's not pornography, so you don't have to worry. Nobody putting any dicks anywhere. This is legit production. Legit. Yeah. In fact, I'll even tell you where it's going to go. It's going to be on Disney Plus. It's a Disney Plus series.
Well, if it's a series, that's very different.
They're still going to be done in 4 months.
Okay.
No promise of a series, you know, this is modern TV, Scott. They don't do seasons. They're lucky you get.
You're 4 years out.
Yeah, exactly. So they know how you feel about your time. They don't want to compromise your time, but you know, time is valuable. And so they're willing to give you $1 million for 4 months work, essentially with, you know, prep and then travel or whatever, because you probably have to go somewhere to shoot. You're looking at half a year, but $1 million, which is fucking pretty sweet money, cash too.
The money. I mean, the money's sweet, but in a way, like, take like the money.
The money spends.
The money spends. Oh, you know, money.
All right, I'll take the money out of it.
But in a, God at knows the end of the day, like, you can take the money out of it because it's like, let's say it's more like in discussing the idea. It's more like in that period of time, you know, it's more to me about like, well.
You could still develop like, your own personal shit. Acting don't require, especially this role you're going to be playing. It's not like you're like the lead where you're on camera all the time. You're part of an ensemble, Scott.
And so, and the reason I say like the money doesn't necessarily matter, because like the only way I would be judging it is like, is this an experience that I want? Is this a challenge? At the end of the day, it's like, is this a challenge that I want to put myself through with the remaining time I have left? Like, I would say, is it a challenge? And then it would really depend on the project. Like, I wouldn't do it if I read it and I was like, eh, like it was okay.
What if
I wasn't that into it or I didn't understand the character? I would be less inclined because I would be like, it would have to be like, because I don't necessarily, I like doing voice acting.
Right. But this ain't that. They're giving you $1 million. They want to see those fucking, those baby blues. They want to see the beard. Beard boy.
Once again, it wouldn't be as simple as like, I've always wanted to act, so I would do it.
Mm.
It would be like, if I felt like, oh, wow, I really think this project is cool and I think I could do this particular role really well. Then like it wouldn't even have to be $1 million. Cause then I would be like, well, then the experience would be worth it to me. Like that's the flip side of like being 50 where I'm like, I was like, if somebody offered me some sort of opportunity to do something that, is not necessarily on my path, you know, like I'm not going to actively pursue I would never actively pursue a role like that.
Right.
If somebody dropped in where, once again, if it was the right thing or I felt like really excited about it, you know, the thing that would, I'd have to be excited about it because I'd be fucking terrified because I know there'd be like a fear.
Let me make it easier for you. So it's me coming to you. I'm the showrunner. But I'm like, it is super secret, dude. I can't even like tell you who you're playing until you sign on. But you got to trust me. Like, this is, you can handle this.
That would be tough.
Why? You don't trust me?
It's not that I don't. Well,
I'm like, I wouldn't have come to you if I didn't think you could do this. I was like, your mind is going to melt when you find out what it is.
It's not a matter that I don't trust you. It's not a question of that I don't trust you. It's that like the problem would be like the anxiety I would have about doing it, right?
But knowing that I wouldn't put you in that position. I was like, I know you. I'm not going to make you anxious. I was like, this is going to be a walk in the park for you, man.
Well, but I am anxious. So you can't sort of like there's no way around it. Like I would be very anxious about doing it because my immediate thing would be like, if I was going to do it, I don't want to like end and everyone's like, hey, way to swing for the fences and end up in the middle.
but I would never, look, I'm never going to approach you with something like, where I'm like, you're only going to come out. You can only hit a home run with this.
It's not, I mean, and once again, it's not like, it's not a lack of trust.
Right.
It's more the level of my anxiety, right? Where I would be. And once again, it's like, if it was something where I was like, once again, if I was somebody who's like, if I'd sat you down multiple times and been like, oh, I fucking just wanted to act my whole life. I'm so crazy about it.
Right.
Like, then the fact is like, I wouldn't even, of course I would just be like, I don't care what it is. Let's go do it. As long as it's not porn or, you know, right. It's not dicks and things.
Right. Right.
Or at least in my thing.
Right.
But if I, for me to be in a, for me, it would be really difficult to not sort of just, you know, this is my personality. It would just be really hard for me to, knowing my anxiety level about doing it, it would be like, it would be more than I could sort of, it would be really hard for me to commit without sort of really understanding what it was or who it is, you know.
All right. So I asked Disney Plus and they're like, all right, you can tell them a little bit, but you can't tell them too much.
Okay.
All right. The role they want you to, that I want you to play.
Yeah.
The studios fight me on, Scott. I'm just telling you right now. Disney Plus don't give a shit. I'm the one in the trenches fighting for you to do this.
I get it.
Because you're age appropriate.
Yeah.
Is I'm making a Disney Plus Cocoon series. Okay. And I want you to play the Wilford Brimley part.
I mean, I'm not Wilford Brimley's age, am I?
Well, that brings us to today's topic, Scott. A long way. That's a long walk through the garden to get to what we wanted to talk about. There is a thing called the Brimley Cocoon line, Scott, that I just learned about recently because I have passed it. This was a tweet that they put up. Born, and it's the Twitter account is Brimley Line, spelled like, you know, Wilford Brimley. Born August 2nd, 1970 in Monmouth County, New Jersey, filmmaker Kevin Smith is 18,530 days old today. The same age as Wilford Brimley on the day Cocoon was released. Congrats, Kevin Smith. You've reached the Brimley Cocoon line.
Get the fuck out of here. That dude was 50 years old when Cocoon was released.
And that's what we're talking about today, Scott. Go look at fucking Cocoon.
Oh, I don't even need to. It's like, I know enough.
Trust me, you're aging. You're aging up in your mind even now, because I do the same thing where I'm like, they were ancient. But even when you actually look at an image, he still, even if you take off 20 years that you're adding in your head, he still looks like an old man. He looks like a grandfather. And I'm not saying there's no way you or me could be grandfathers, because mind you, this is from the day Cocoon reached theaters, meaning when they shot Cocoon, which was a special effects heavy movie, he was our age, like your age exactly, definitely within your age. I'm now past the Brimley age from when the movie premiered, so I'm definitely way past how old he was when he shot the movie. So if he's 50, 50 years, 9 months and 6 days when Cocoon comes out, that means technically Wilford Brimley was 49 when he played a grandfather in Cocoon. Now, we could have children who could have grandchildren, absolutely.
Yeah.
But we don't. But if we, if I can't, if I, no wonder Disney Plus is fighting me casting you in the Wilford Brimley part, because they're like, he's a vital young man. He can't play somebody's grandfather. But I'm in there pointing out, like, have you, do you guys know what the Brimley Cocoon line calculator is?
Like, we don't care.
I'm like, well, then you're fucked, because, you know, you can't just buy 20th Century Fox, inherit Cocoon, and not give a fuck about the Brimley Cocoon line calculator, man, at brimleyline.date. There's an actual fucking calculator. So, for example, when Cocoon reached theaters on June 21st, 1985, Wilford Brimley was 18,530 days old, 50 years, 9 months, 6 days. You cross the Brimley Cocoon line today if you were born on August 11th, 1970. If you were born today, meaning like if you had a baby right now,
yeah.
That baby will cross the Brimley Cocoon line on January 7th, 2072. And then there's a calculator to figure out
your own days.
So, all right. So let's do, select your birth date. Scott is March. What's the date?
March 5th.
March 5. And we got to dial the year back to, oh, come
1971.
On. 1971. Tonight.
I can tell you, like, today was my, today is, we could just do simple math, which I know is always fun for.
Well, they built this fucking calculator for us.
Today's day 18,322 for me. So whatever that minus 500. So it's like 200. What's the Brimley line?
The Brimley line. If you were born on March 5th, 2021. Well, that's not what I'm asking. We're asking,
what's the Brimley line?
The Brimley line is 18,530 days. It's 1971. Fucking accept this, motherfucker.
I think it's like 200 and I think I'm like 208 days away.
So from where Wilford Brimley was when Cocoon premiered in theaters, but technically
in 208 days, I will be at the Brimley. I'll be at the line.
But as of right now, you are presumably, if we, you know, just do logic math, even without hard numbers, you are as old as Wilford Brimley was when he was shooting Cocoon with Ron Howard.
Possibly. Yeah, yeah, sure. That's a good guess.
It's fucked up, dude. You do not look like, you got a beard, but you don't look like Wilford Brimley. You don't look like anybody's grandfather. You can't sell fucking oatmeal to me. I don't give a fuck how hard you try. You could rock like saying something like things oral and whatnot, like you did in fucking The Firm, but
things oral and whatnot.
There you go. Now, in my version of Cocoon, I would not have you do a grovelly voice. I'm like, this is the new grandpa. Grandpa sounds like you. Like, you don't have to affect a
old time. Oh, like, I don't voice. Have to, I can just keep my regular voice.
Yeah, you talk like you. Fucking, I'm like,
if I'm a grandpa in a modern Cocoon, if I'm grandpa at 50, then okay. I mean, I know that doesn't feel modern to me, though. How many grandpas are at 50 years old now?
Now, let's be honest. He wasn't being portrayed as a 50-year-old grandpa. No. They, you know, that was like, oddly enough.
He was playing older.
Yeah, which was like a real like fucking judgment on old Wilford Brimley. They were like, bring in Brimley. Like, he's old. And he's like, I'm fucking 49.
He's like, I'm a boy.
Yeah, I'm a beard boy.
I'm a mustachioed boy.
I come out the womb like this. Do you think his agent was like, I can't take him this. You want him to play a grandfather.
Yeah, he's a boy.
He's fucking 49. He's a boy. He's a beard boy.
He's a beautiful boy. He is. Like,
or do you think he's like, look, Wilford, he spends. Yeah, he's like,
need that.
Oh my God. He'll just
fucking play 20. He'll play 50. He'll play 80.
Champagne taste, beer pocketbook, that Willie Brimley. So we'll take any fucking job. What Bill is he playing?
Brimley wants money.
Bill Brimley. Bill. Bill, I got you a job, Bill.
He's going to love it.
Yeah. I'm playing. I'm selling my milk, am I?
He's not English. No. The version of him, like if he was English.
That's who he was. That's who he was. And like, he fucking sold himself, you know, as American. But when he was off camera,
it'd be amazing if you learned at the end
that he'd been lying this whole time.
Bill Brimley. I'm from Essex. I fucking wasn't 60 years old.
Why'd you do it, Bill?
Why not?
Oh my God. He's my hero. A man who pretended his entire life to be an American to no great advantage. Finally revealed that we're all fools and he outwitted us somehow. Changing how we all felt about the grandfatherly Wilford Brimley moments before his it. My name's like, Bill. Wilford.
I wonder if what his age was relative to
everyone else.
Yeah.
Does everyone get a calculator? Like a Gwen Verdon?
Jessica Tandy.
Gwen Verdon.
Like, who else is in
Hume Cronin. All right, here, let's do this.
Hume Cronin.
This is Don, worth a deep dive. Let's see how old Don Amici.
Don Amici, Trading Places.
All right, let's look at Don Amici. And we'll look at when he was born. And he was born 1908. So this is going to be easy math to figure out, Scott. We don't even need somebody to build us a calculator for this motherfucker. Now.
He was 77.
Yes, because he died at age 85.
Yeah. In 1985. He was born in 1988. So he's.
How old then?
77.
When they shoot Cocoon, Don Amici is age appropriate.
Is 76, 70. Yeah, 77. Right.
Let's go to Gwen Verdon because she was also in it, if I remember correctly. Because there's Maureen Stapleton. We'll look her up next. She ain't getting away from us. 1925, Gwen Verdon's born. She died in 2000, age 75. So
she's 60. So she's 60 when shooting Cocoon.
So she's closer to age appropriate than the 49-year-old Wilford Brimley.
I mean, she's a retirement age. I mean, that's the thing with Brimley is like, if he truly was like 49 or 50, and I do think in the movie, in all fairness in the movie, he might have been portrayed as like the youngest or the or younger, you know.
Bullshit. I don't ever remember a scene where they were like, he's the youngest of the old timers. Yeah. All right. So wait, Maureen Stapleton, who, if I remember correctly, plays his wife, right?
Yeah.
She was born in 1925.
So she's 60.
So she was 60.
Yeah.
And that's more age appropriate. I think we
should confirm the Wilford.
Yeah. All right. I got him right here. Let's pull up his birthday. Here we go.
Because then he's supposedly born in 1935.
He was born here. It says 1934.
All right.
Very close.
Yeah.
So he was the spring chicken. All right. Hold on. Jessica Tandy, who was like fucking old when Methuselah was born. She was born 1909. She's the, I think, might be the oldest in the bunch. So do the math on that.
Well, Don Amici's 1908. So he's the oldest, but she's second at like 76, 75.
No, I thought Don Amici was like 70 or something.
He was 77.
77. When they made the movie, he was 77.
In 1985, if you minus 8 from it,
yeah,
it would be 77.
All right. So then Jessica Tandy would be 76.
Yeah.
And then Jack Guilford. Character actor Jack Guilford, you know, most people, he's not the sexiest name in the cast, but fucking for those of us who used to like to watch The Duck Factory with young Jim Carrey, he was the fucking man. He was also in Caveman, remember? I think he was the blind guy, the one they were doing na 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 na, and they put his hand in the fire and he'd be like, wah! Jack Guilford, he was born 1908, so that's the same time as
Don Amici. Now, here's the other question. How old is Steve Guttenberg at that point? Like, is he closer to...
Oof. Steve Guttenberg right now is 62. He was born in 58, so he's 62 years old. So he is older than Wilford Brimley right now than when he was when he was in Cocoon.
He was born in 1962?
58.
1958.
And Cocoon came out in what? 85.
So he was born in 58.
So it looks like he was.
So he's 27 ish? 20. No.
God. So if you add 2 years, make it 1960. Yeah, 27. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Could you imagine, so dude? Young. If motherfucker was just like, I ain't even 30 and I'm the lead in fucking Cocoon.
I'm a Gutenberg.
Yeah, it's all Goot. It'll be Goot forever, man. Steve Greitenberg, they should start calling me. All right, so Wilford Brimley, of all the old timers, did we do Hume Cronin? We didn't. Let's do Hume Cronin because he's fucking.
He was there. He was younger than Jessica Tandy. I think he.
You're right. He was born 1911.
Yeah, he must be. So he's like 70. He's like 71 ish.
And mind you, like. You know, this ain't a big commercial for Cocoon, but Don Amici was very spry in that movie. He was dancing. He was fucking.
Well, they had to.
Special
effects like that? They couldn't fucking make it like a digital Don Amici dance around. Like, they hired them to be old. And that's what's funnier is like, they had to act old and then they had to act young. And with Brimley, I guess it wasn't much of an act.
Yeah, with Brimley, he's like, I get paid either way. Because I'm
paid either way.
I'll never get older and I'll never die. He's like, because I'm not old.
Bill
and I'm,
Brimley.
And I'm not young. Oh, Bill. Bill exists in the twilight. He does. He never gets older and he never dies. He's not old. He's not young. He's Bill. He is.
I'll be lifted up to space on a boat.
Cocoon, as told by, as only Bill Brimley could tell it.
He rewrote a lot of it.
Is that right? Is that what happened, Bill?
Fuck you, yeah, dude.
I
let me write, fuck up, in the outer space. To another planet.
Did you get older or did you die?
Nah.
Nah. Never get older. Never die.
Live forever in Orion 5. Married a lovely.
They came back. Didn't they come back in Cocoon 2?
I don't remember. I don't know if I watched that.
I think they, yeah, if I remember, you were like, look, fucking, I was there for Cocoon, but when they asked me for more money, I cut them off.
Fuck you. Fuck Brimley.
Because they said they were leaving. What do you mean they're coming back? That ain't,
what did they come back
for? That ain't the deal. I'm going to look it up, man.
Cocoon the Return.
Cocoon 2.
I don't know if they came back. Was Brimley in it? I think Don Ameche might have died before 2 came out.
Cocoon the Return. Like,
I ain't watching it.
All right, here we go. 1988. So, boy, they fucking.
3 years later.
Yeah, they didn't. And was it Ron Howard? No, it was Daniel Petrie. You know when you're thrown into the Petri dish, you know, fucking, it ain't Cocoon no more.
That was my objection.
Who's directing this? Is it Ron Howard or is that fucker Danny Petrie? I ain't getting in no Petri dish. All right, here's the cast. Don Ameche, still around.
Wow.
Still made it.
80.
Wilford Brimley.
Yeah.
Courtney Cox. Was she in the original? Is she the girl in the original? So. Hume no. Cronin. Jack Gilford. He came back. The Goot is back. Barrett Oliver, who was in Daryl. He came back. Maureen Stapleton was back. They brought in Elaine Stritch. And then Tawny Welch. She was in the original. Okay, so what's the plot of this fucker?
Yeah.
5 years, Scott, after they left Earth following a failed rescue mission, the Antarians return to rescue the cocoons that were left behind. Before they can be retrieved, one of the cocoons is discovered by a science research team and taken to a secure laboratory for testing. The aliens and their human allies must find a way to get that cocoon out in time for a rendezvous with the rescue ship, as Bill pointed out.
So it's the same plot. Basically.
Pretty much. And they just like, oh shit, we lost one of the eggs. I forgot. So the idea of the story was that they were swimming in these waters.
There was a pool.
And in the pool were these like Antarian pods and that was young,
big.
Young and them up or some such shit.
Yeah. They were using their life force. I think it was, wasn't it something fucked up like that where it's like, you're getting younger, but you're killing these, like you're fucking draining their life essence.
Oh my God. That was a fucking fantastic Wilford Brimley. I'm so glad that I've stood up against Disney Plus for you because that fucking sounded like him. I was like, you fuckers don't realize he's channeling fucking Bill, man.
He can channel Brimley.
He can bring Brimley back. He's a modern day Brimley. You know how Kurt Russell is a sexy fucking Santa Claus?
Yeah.
This is a modern fucking Brimley where people are like, first off, you can't call him Brimley. That's the guy's name in real life. Like, don't you tell me what
isn't
to
that
do.
What happened
Ben Luckett. Song? That's your character's name. I want Scott Mosier to play Luckett. There's only one guy play Luckett. Moj. Moj is
making him look it.
Yes. So
I would change my character where I did. I was like Ben Luckett, and I had a tattoo that said "fuck it."
And all the old ladies
across my chest.
And all the old ladies were like giggle every time you show it to them in the pool and shit. And your character, I'd have you pee in the pool too. And that seriously Sweet. Fucks with the Antarians. It's like, they're killing us with their urine. Why can't they just get up and pee outside the pool?
They're already taking our life.
Now we're sucking urine as well. Fuck these people. I hope they get older and I hope they die. We'll never get older. We'll never die. Yeah, I heard.
We'll never get old.
Never die. That movie cost $17.5 million, Scott.
The original.
The original. And it made... What do you think got a sequel greenlit back in 1985?
$68 million.
I got a box office here of 85.3.
Okay.
So they weren't even like, this fucker made $1 billion worldwide. They're like $85 million one more time. Let's see how they were rewarded, Scott. So What was the budget of the last one? 17 and a half. Guess what? The sequel, 3 years later, the exact same budget. At least that's what they reported. Nobody got any bumps. You didn't get that sweet Amici bump or nothing like that. They were like, you're lucky to be working, Don.
Welcome to Cocoon 2. You're lucky you're alive. Let me tell you, this movie's bullshit. You will die.
Yeah, you're going to die. Take the job, Don.
Take the fucking job, Don.
Same money. It's good money, Don.
No, not like you need it.
$17.5 million, same exact budget.
Yeah.
But Cocoon made $85
million. Yes.
When they returned, Scott?
No.
$25 million.
Yeah.
They left $60 million on the fucking table.
Because people were just like,
you said you weren't coming back. You lied.
Not old.
They must have had to green light that shit fast because they're like, look, if we don't get fucking shoot now.
Yeah, nobody's coming back from space.
Yeah, and also people will see that they do get older and they do fucking die. So don't make us out to be a liar, Amici. I'm telling you, Wilford Brimley was their secret weapon. He was like, I'll make 8 of these. Like, fucking.
I'll live forever in this universe.
Because he lived until last year. Wilford Brimley lived until 2020. Wow. You couldn't kill this fucker until 2020 came along. And he was like, I give up. Like so many. The day before my birthday, August 1st, 2020, he fucking died.
Clerks, the animated series, just reminded me of Nothing Can Kill the Grimace. Fucking Bill Brimley is the Grimace.
Well, Bill,
I guess something can't kill.
Bill will live forever. Wilford Brimley died. Bill is eternal. I mean, this is so fucked, dude.
Cocoon?
No, they have not. Think about it, dude. And so that means in The Firm, which was like, let's say 7-8 years after Cocoon, he still wasn't a 60-year-old man.
No.
He was still in his fucking 50s. This guy was passing. He could have lived in any retirement community he wanted and passed and paid. He could have fucking paid, you know, senior discount any restaurant he went to.
Because of Cocoon?
No, because he passed as an old timer and shit.
But Cocoon had to seal the deal, though. Cocoon,
yeah, no doubt.
Be like, for them, from that point on, everyone's like considered him a senior citizen.
Yeah, and I mean, you got Don Amici signing off on you as being a senior citizen. Like fucking, you got Jack Gilford going like, yeah, he's one of us and shit. Even though he was 20 fucking 5 years their junior. How do you think that made him feel? He was just like, what must I look like to Hollywood?
I don't know. I mean, obviously he did it.
This hurts, honey. She's like, I know, Bill, but the money spends. And he's like, I know, but the pain hurts.
But the more pain the bill can take.
It's a currency. A currency. God damn it. What if it's so successful they want to go again? What if they want to return? Oh, now this horseshit story, this ain't going nowhere. Well, you don't know. That Ron Howard, he's talented.
There's got to be other people who've been.
He wasn't even talking like that. He was fucking 49 years old, so he's probably talking to his like hotter younger wife.
Normal. Yeah, yeah.
In her 30s.
He never said. I mean, even in The Firm, he didn't sound like an old man.
Yeah, he did. He always sounded like an old man. Yeah, rough like an old man.
Like I've lived a long time. Whatnot. You just speak. He hid behind his mustache.
That mustache aged him terribly. Should have, yeah. If he'd taken it, I bet you that's what he did in the real world. He's like, I take it off, I go out and I go fucking bunting. Poon. I'm a poon hound. He's going, and when I got the mustache on, nobody wants to fuck grandpa. Nobody wants to give grandpa a mustache ride. But I take the mustache off and suddenly I drop 25 years. Now you think about that when I beat the rap. Wilford Brimley as Frank Nitti.
Oh, shit. Hold on. I hit pause. My elbow. Hold on. There you go. Sorry.
No, I have you. I had you loud and clear. We have now entered Wilford Brimley country, Scott. But if if our lives continue on a Brimley scale, he lived for another 35 years from Cocoon.
Yeah, he's going to be in his, at that point, he's going to be 20, in the high 20,000, 28,000.
Of days, yeah. Terms of yeah. days. But yeah. I mean, think about it. Like,
I
mean,
technically, I just assume Brimley's like, hey, man, the Brimley line is when I died.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't give a fuck about, I was in the firm. Like, fuck Cocoon.
I threatened Tom Cruise with pictures of things oral and whatnot. Like, I lived. Fucking iced. I sold oatmeal. I sold Liberty Medical. Like, I was in the China syndrome. Fuck y'all. But 85, and that was Wilford Brimley. And I'm not casting aspersions here, but didn't seem like the, you know, healthiest guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So, who knows? There's a good chance.
He ate oatmeal.
Well, he maybe had good genetics, but let's be honest, he was heavy set. So there's a good chance that you and me go beyond 85. Definitely you. You're probably going to 100, probably 103, I'd say.
I mean, who knows?
Until you're just like, I'm fucking through with it all.
I'm tired.
You're going to be around so long that they come back to you for the Cocoon reboot 25 years later.
Disney Plus will be like, remember Smith just kept ranting about Scott Mosher as Wilford Brimley?
Yeah, he didn't live much longer past his Brimley line, but fucking he had one good idea and he took it to the grave with him. But here's our chance. Here's our chance to make that idea dance.
So when I'm 78, if Disney Plus comes to me to act in Cocoon, the series.
Yes. You're like, only if I'm playing the Amici part. You're like, no fucking Brimley. Because you're like, I know for a fact he wasn't an old man. And I won't lie like
it's
that.
It's a young man's role.
You need a modern day Gutenberg for that shit.
Oh, fucking. I wonder if Gutenberg would, he would, you could do Cocoon 3 right now.
Mm-hmm.
With Gutenberg just sitting in a boat going like, come on, take me.
Yeah, going like, a one-man show. You don't even need all that money. $17.5 million. Fuck that.
Old man in the sea.
Totally. With an iPhone, you got yourself like a fucking $500 Cocoon sequel where it's just, you know, fucking Gutenberg.
Cocoon 3.
Sitting on the boat going, when? When? And he just monologues about the last 50 years of his life or whatever the fuck. Yeah, however long it's been.
How could you not watch that?
And basically, it's like we don't even need to shoot the flashbacks.
Heist.
It's it's not one long shot. We'll edit, but it's basically a man telling the stories on a boat.
It's Gutenberg basically. Everything's. It's like his wife's gone.
Yes.
He's alone.
Tony Welch. Like,
and he knows that there is a world where old people are taken to another planet.
He never told her, though, because he didn't love her enough.
And he lives with that pain. Yes.
He was just like, look, I loved her enough for a lifetime. Not my entire lifetime, particularly when I know that there's a place where I'll never get older and I'll never die. I'll Brimley this shit.
They're right fucking now.
And he's just waiting he's waiting for the light and shit. He's on the boat.
Yeah.
He's like, and he's just like, I left my life behind. I don't have enough provisions to get back. Either you come get me, Antarians, or I die out here. And there's long silence. And then he's just like, well, it was a long life. And he starts telling us the story of his life.
No, you don't know. You don't know until about.
The last shot, Scott, is an overhead shot of him, like on the deck of the boat, and a giant light hits him. Then we go to credits.
And then you pull back, and it's a helicopter.
No, we don't. We got to let the audience fucking.
You
don't
let the audience. It might be. Yes. You don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Or he's dying. I think you do it. I think you shoot it in a way where you're sort of like. You know, there's also the motif of light at the end of when you're going to die, you know, so it's like, did he die? Did he get to go up? Like, what happened to him?
In our film school version of this, it's like, was he ever really alive?
Yeah. A simulator.
That'd be... I don't think...
That's a bold choice. Somebody should do that.
I don't think you'd have to work hard to sell Gutenberg on going out to shoot that.
I don't think, yeah. I mean, that's a one man fucking, he's a one man wrecking crew, man. He gets to go out on a boat and fucking do like, it's a boat.
Wrecking crew. He's sitting there going, I am a one man wrecking crew. Yeah, you sure are, Goot. You're all
Goot. Tear the shit up.
You're better than Goot. You're great. You're Greatenberg. Steve Greatenberg. That's what I've always said.
Chapter 2, Greatenberg. Drop that. Let's legally change your name to Steve Greatenberg.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. There's no script.
No just way.
Wail out your pain.
Yeah, just fucking tell us what happened to you. You are your character.
Wail out your pain. Say, what's those aliens called again?
Antarians.
Antarians. Scream out Antarians.
Every once in a while.
Look up in the sky every once in a while.
If you name check an Antarian, that'll be good for us. But the rest of it, I just want to hear about you. What were your disappointments, your heartbreaks? Yeah. Things that affected you, just that's going to play real.
Cut your heart out and pour it out.
Well, so. I'm not usually used to working like this. That's my good work. As you can see, that's why I won't be getting the Gutenberg part in fucking the Cocoon miniseries, because didn't really sound like him. But that's, you know, I mean, with a gun to my head, that was the best Gutenberg I could give. If somebody was like, give me your best fucking Gutenberg, like, I might have taken an extra 10 seconds.
The essence of it was there. I bought it. I was like, I got what you were channeling, which was somebody who was like, I was in police again.
That's not even his Cocoon performance. Howard would never let that fucking police academy shit fly. You know, Ronnie would modulate that performance and be like, I want you to keep it real. You're doing it fucking Potsy. I want it Richie. Or better yet, Chuck, the long lost brother from season one.
Oh, fuck. Ron Howard should Cocoon 3 with Steve Greatenberg on a boat.
No shit. Well, fuck him. Why can't we do it? Like, fucking job to him. I'll tell you right now, Ron Howard ain't ever doing something that fucking cool. He's working on like fucking Willow or some such shit. He likes those fat budgets. But if I went into Imagine today and I was like, hey, Howard, imagine this. Cocoon 3 is just you. Well, you're not in it. You're shooting a boat. Is just Gutenberg on a boat waiting to get picked up by the Antarians, monologuing about Gutenberg's real life and disappointments and shit, working it in there, making it real, authentic.
Yeah.
And then at the end, as he's dying on the deck, we blast him with a light from above and an overhead shot, but we don't tell you whether or not he was right.
I mean,
could be the sound of an Antarian fucking fighter jet.
Could be a helicopter.
Could be a Huey. And then at the end, we get ourselves a little taste of that Jacob's Ladder audience we've all been chasing since the fucking 90s. I've not been chasing that. Relatively successful. It's like, well, maybe to you, but I still talk about it.
It reminds me of JCVD.
Hmm?
Do you remember that Jean-Claude Van Damme movie where he was like...
Was it that cheap? Was it him on a boat monologuing while waiting for the Antarians to pick him up?
I don't know if it was that cheap, but it was a bank robbery, so it all took place... You never saw it?
Uh-oh.
Oh, you should... It's worth watching. It's like, really... Because he plays himself.
Can it be Brimley'd? Or Gutenberg'd? I guess, wait. Brimley doesn't make sense. Brimley is if can you hire... When you say, can it be Brimley, that's asking, can you hire a 49-year-old man to play a 75-year-old?
Yes.
That's not what we're asking here.
That's not what we're asking.
The question we're asking is, can it be Gutenberg'd?
Well, in a way, could Gutenberg do Van Damme? Because what Van Damme does in that movie is basically portray himself.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a really interesting moment when he's in the bank, and it's kind of like it's like Jean-Claude Van Damme gets trapped in a bank with people who are, you know, trying to take hostages. And so part of it's a little bit of an action movie, but there's a moment in the movie where he basically, like, he's on a crane. Like, he's obviously sitting on a crane and he's in this situation. And then the crane, like, with the camera, like, lifts him up into the air, up into the air.
Up in here.
And he does a monologue. Like, he just monologues.
At the camera?
Yeah. It's like,
it's a little too arty for what I'm suggesting here, man.
I mean, all I'm saying is that the basic.
I don't want to lose the audience. I want, remember, it's Cocoon 3, Scott. There's an expectation. People coming in. But yes, yeah, well, I guess we can take a little JCVD influence and shit, but this is going to be its very own unique thing.
C3.
For some reason, I feel like.
CC3.
There was others. Like, I feel like they did like a straight to fucking TV Cocoon sequel.
I don't know.
In which.
I remember the first one, and I remember there was like. There's that moment where Gutenberg is like with the alien girl and then like he gets like alien sexed or something, or she shines a light on him and it's not like sex, but it's sort of like some.
She exposes her bosom. No, her brightness or whatever the fuck. I'm not seeing anything for
a moment with her, like some kind of like they engaged in some kind of alien sort of light therapy or some shit.
I agree. I feel you on that. I'm not seeing any Cocoon 3. I think they learned their lesson with 2.
I mean, it felt pretty hard.
But, you know, still, and no Cocoon TV show? Cocoon.
I don't know if you could do a TV show.
Yeah, like every week we're coming, we'll never get older and we'll never die. Yeah,
1 week we go up, 1 week we come back.
Because we forgot somebody. We're bringing them one at a time. It takes us a while. Here's people also ask, because I entered Cocoon TV show into Google. These are the questions people also ask. Number one, is Cocoon available on Netflix? Reasonable question. Number two, who died from the movie Cocoon? Very grim question, Scott. But then the third question is a variation on the second. Are any of the Cocoon cast still alive? Let's click on that. 30 years since Cocoon. Let's check in on the cast and see what they're up to. Don Ameche, he died, as we know. Oh, it's just a list of dead people. This is sad.
I mean, Gutenberg's alive. Fuck.
Yeah, I mean, well, obviously. But as we saw.
Is Tony Walsh alive?
What a great question, man. Hold on. Let's fucking look. She's like, don't kill me off. Fucking Tony Walsh. I was a big part of that first one. let's see. She is aged 59, Scott.
All right.
She's born in 61. Years active, 1983 to 2000. Oh, she's married. Oh, she was married to Jared Harris, the actor, for about 5 years. Oh. Her mom, of course, was Raquel Welch. Her Welch's film career began in Italy, starring opposite Veronese. She starred in Ron Howard's Cocoon and Cocoon the Return, in which she portrayed an alien. She played the part of Princess Rosebud in Sleeping Beauty. Returning to Europe, Welch worked mostly in Italian and German film and television productions. She appeared in the American independent films I Shot Andy Warhol, Sue, and Search and Destroy. She portrayed the role of Catherine Powell in the 1996 video game Ripper. Yeah, man, that's so strange. I hadn't thought of her until we started talking about Cocoon, but she did just kind of like disappear. Apparently she went back to Europe. She's like, fuck American movies. They're all about how old people will never get older and never die. And she's like, I'm against that. And she's like, wait a second. She's way past the Wilford Brimley Cocoon line. She would have to be, right? Yeah, because she's older than us.
She's 59, yeah.
Fuck, man. Do you think she ever sits around and she's like, I'm now older than Wilford Brimley was? when he portrayed an old man in Cocoon? Does she ever do the Brimley Cocoon?
I don't think she's ever. I mean, I don't think she's ever thought that.
Do you think she's ever thought about me, Scott? Do you think ever once she's been like, oh, Clerks, I saw that, and that's that boy that made Clerks? Or do you think I'm not even on Tawny Welch's radar, and yet she's still on mine, even though she's only been, she hasn't been active since 2000?
That's hard to say. You might have dropped in there at some point.
You think so?
Maybe. She's in Italy?
Yeah.
She's living in Italy. That make, you know, she not necessarily like in the, it depends up on sort of, you know, world culture she is. Like, she might not be, but, it, you know,
it's maybe. Fucking nuts to consider, man, that, like, when I saw Cocoon in 1985, that, like, you know, one day she's going to know my name.
Your dad's like, what? What'd you just say?
And why'd you say it in a British accent? Kid. She's going to know my name. She is.
My name, Tony's gonna know Kevy.
We don't even know if she does. Like, I remember fucking Will Smith's wife, Jada Pinkett Smith, was on some radio show, and yeah, they were doing like a quiz, Smith quiz or something like that. And one of the questions was like Kevin Smith, and she didn't know who I was. And
maybe she doesn't know other Smiths.
Maybe, yeah, she's like,
it's like a blind spot.
She's like, it begins and ends with one Smith for me.
Yeah.
Big Willie style. She's like, every other Smith is a pale comparison. But that means that when we made Jersey Girl, Scott, he didn't go home and was like, oh my God, Kevin Smith was such a fun director to Jada.
Well, I think you could say like he might have.
But she didn't care. She's like, I give a fuck.
I mean, I don't
she's
know.
Like, I'm not, that's not worth remembering, Will. And I'm then walked
this,
away.
Like, I'm putting this in the pencil.
Like, I'll have to think about it, and that's not worth remembering, Will. He's like, all right. It's,
take it easy.
Yeah, it's cool. No, Will, it's not cool.
Quit filling my head with shit.
The Smiths. Coming soon.
Sing me a nice song. Something. Tell me that shit.
Tell me it's the summertime. It is. Summertime. Well, there you go. That's your job. Don't do my thinking for me. A searing look inside the marriage of Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith, as imagined by the guy who she didn't remember on a radio show. As I do press to promote it, I'm like, oh, to me, it's all a cautionary tale. It just means, you know, be careful which Smith you don't know. He could wind up making a movie about your life. And they're like, wait, so you no did this for revenge? Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Some people maybe. What? So I don't do it for awards. I do it for emotional reasons. Revenge. Yes. I think it's silly she didn't know who I was.
Now she does.
Yeah, now she'll never forget. Because I made a movie about her life that in which I imagined
very small part of
her life. Her marriage to one of the world's most famous Smiths. Got inside the mindset. I don't know. Anyway, forever we'll be tied together. Like, does this film have a distributor? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I'm going to sell it as an NFT. Visionary filmmaker Kevin Smith has made a biopic about Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith.
Focused entirely on a moment. Possibly didn't all who he was.
Hey, man, I'll argue that every biopic focuses on a moment. Like, can't do somebody's whole life in a movie. What are you, stupid? You dipshit? So the I
definition
picked,
of a biopic. It's a pick. It's not pics.
I biopicked a moment. And this moment's the movie, man. It's about the biggest fight they ever had. Like, what?
Yeah, well.
Over you? As I imagine it, it's my movie, so yeah, it's over.
I'm an Imagineer.
Yeah, fucking works for Disney, right? This thing on Disney Plus.
Well, like Disney was all about revenge.
Remember, Bambi fucking chewed the heart out of the hunter that killed his mother.
Sure, they cut it, but
but we all know that was the third act. Just like, you know, Pretty Woman was about prostitution, really. 3,000 was the name of the script. It was a reference to what she was paid to have sex with gear. That was before they Disneyfied it, man. That was in the days of Touchstone. Like, sir, this is a CVS.
The restroom of a CVS.
How would you describe the man that you saw in the restroom, you encountered in the restroom?
Kevin Smith.
Yeah, but you know, but old enough to be a grandfather, like he passed the Brimley cocoon line for sure. So I'd say an old man, but in a young man's body. Does that make sense? Oh, good Lord. If you're lucky, kids, you'll reach that line. Scott's got 200 more days or so.
Yep.
Until he's 50 years old, 9 months and 6 days. Essentially, it's 50 with a baby.
Yeah.
That's what Wilford was. That's how they described him. He's like, he's like 50 with a baby. He's like, hey, out of your fucking mind.
Just shut the fuck up. Yeah.
Don't talk that way in front of me.
I'm not a baby.
There it is, kids. That's my guest for this week, man. I'm Kevin Smith.
Scott Mosier.
Have a week.
This has been a Smodco Internet production. Sip. Only at smodcast.com.